إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates, and I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His servant and His messenger. This evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, this is our 11th session, reading from the classical book of Shaykh al-Islam, Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah, Al-Aqidah, Al-Wasitiyah, the final two chapters, and its explanation by Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, rahmatan wasiyah. Before we look at the topic for today, which is yani continuation of the previous statements from the text of the book, dealing with those characteristics, qualities, actions that are complementary, yani that complete and perfect, yani the characteristics, the sifat of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, in terms of their actions that complete and perfect the aqidah. Before we look at our topic for tonight, we want to quickly review some of what we covered last week from the question and study guide number 10. First question being, memorize the seventh statement of the author, rahimahullah, which relates to noble character and good deeds. Now, Musa. Meaning?
We call to noble character and good deeds.
Good deeds. Naam. Yani the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, they call, they invite, they encourage people to yani implement in their lives, yani to characterize themselves with the characteristics of nobility and the good actions that yani Islam calls for. Naam.
There's a brother who said white Mercedes blocking somebody outside.
White Mercedes.
White Mercedes blocking someone outside. It's a sister? Pipe. If the sisters, please, there's somebody driving a white Mercedes, is blocking somebody in front of the masjid?
Yeah.
In front of the masjid. Okay, inshallah. Inshallah. Naam. Tayyib. The second question, discuss the Shaykh's, yani Shaykh al-Uthaymeen's explanation of what is meant by noble character with the mention of some examples of it. Yani what? How has he explained, what do we mean by makarim al-akhlaq? What do we mean by this? And some examples. Naam. Walid.
The tayyib, the purest of them.
So the tayyib, yani, naam, the purest of the akhlaq, naam.
So the best of things, so the kareem, when something's kareem, it's the best of it.
Naam, the kareem is the best of a thing, naam.
And an example the Shaykh gave, rahimullah, is when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sent Mu'adh to Yemen, and he told him to not take the best of the wealth, the kareem.
Naam, don't take the best of their wealth, naam.
That was
an example of the use of this word to represent the best of something. Naam. Anybody else want to add to this? Naam. Also, from the meaning that he gave of yani noble character, he explained character a little yani more specifically. Muhammad.
Khuluq is the inner.
And the akhlaq is the plural of khuluq. And khuluq means?
The inner.
Naam.
Asura
al-Batina. Asura al-Batina. Yani the inner form or shape of the human being, as opposed to the outward form. Yani what you see outwardly, physically, well, there's also an inward form, right? Asura al-Batina. And this is what we mean by character, khuluq. We mean the inner form of the human being. Naam. And the Shaykh also mentioned, yani, that it means, yani, the sajiyya, or the, yani, taba'a of the human being, their nature, their natural disposition. the intrinsic, internal characteristics of a human being. And then he gave us some examples. And we also may know other examples. Now,
some of the examples he gave was a smiling face.
Smiling face.
One's chest is expanded, it's not tight.
Okay, chest expanded.
The soul is at rest, they're friendly, things of this nature. Now,
generosity.
Okay, generosity.
Courage.
We're going to come back to this. Now, courage. What else? Generosity, courage, courageousness, truthfulness, being trustworthy, patience, kindness. These are characteristics, qualities of people's character. Okay? And the Shaykh, and he just gave a few examples, but of course there are many examples that we could look at, to represent this. Third question, discuss the Shaykh's explanation of good deeds and clarify the main difference between it and noble character. Yani, how has the Shaykh explained what do we mean by mahasin al-a'mal? What do we mean by mahasin? Mahasin al-a'mal. Naam, and the difference between that and good noble character. Naam, Fadl Waleed.
It's the good deeds.
And the good deeds.
And specifically, these are the good deeds that are done by action with the limbs.
Okay, actions that are done by the limbs, yani outward actions of the human being. Naam. And also he said, yani that it's inclusive of what? Yani al-a'mal ta'abbudiyya wal-a'mal ghayra ta'abbudiyya. And this is important in this definition of good deeds, because sometimes people think of good deeds, mahasin al-a'mal or al-a'mal al-saliha, as just acts of worship, like salat and zakat. But actually, the Shaykh, he says what? His actions that we do as means of worship, and those which are not worship, like yani buying and selling and lending and
renting
and so on. Other actions that where we interact with people, requiring us to be truthful, honest, and so on, and not to be unjust, violating trust, and so on. Now, so the difference between good deeds and noble character is what? Yani the main clear difference. Now, Musa.
Noble character, the inner self.
Noble character is dealing with the inner self.
Yeah,
good deeds.
Good deeds is the outer.
Outward actions. Yani he said it is connected to the jawari, yani to the limbs of the body, the actions that you do physically. Taib, after this, memorize the hadith mentioned by the author, yani Shaykh Islam Taymiyyah rahimahullah, in the text of the book, which shows the excellence of good character. And he said, they also, Ahl Sunnah Jama'ah, ya'taqiduna. They believe in the meaning, yani ma'ana qawlihi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then he mentioned a hadith, which shows the excellence of good character. And what is this hadith? Now,
akmalu mu'minina imanan, ahsanuhum khuluqan.
Ahsanuhum khuluqan. Meaning?
The most perfect.
The most perfect.
Of the believers. The one that has.
In reference to Iman. Imanan. The most perfect of the believers in reference to Iman. Most perfect in Iman are those who have.
Best character.
Ahsanuhum khuluqan. Those who are best in reference to character. Naam. And here. Discuss briefly what is meant by having good character with Allah. Because the Shaykh said, yani, the best of the most complete and perfect of the believers in Iman are those who have the best character. And he said this means the character, your character with Allah and your character with the created beings, with the human beings or otherwise. Yani, your character with Allah is one side and the character with the people. So here, then the Shaykh began to explain, yani, what is meant by having good character with Allah, which means what? Yani Mustafa.
Having good character with Allah is being pleased with what He has decreed.
Okay, being pleased with the things that He has decreed, like whether sickness or calamity or whatever.
And the legislations.
Naam.
As well as in His universal decree.
His universal decree. Okay, His universal decree is in reference to the things that occur in the universe, and the things that He decreed to happen. Yani a person got sick or died or was wealthy or poor or calamities in the earth or whatever. That's in reference to yani His universal decrees. But the other side of it that he mentioned first, right, is the naam.
Obeying the commandments of Allah.
Now, accepting, being pleased with, complying with, submitting to, naam, the ahkam al-shara'iyya, the things that, the awamir of Allah, the things that He commanded us with. Accepting them, being pleased with them, complying with them, submitting to them. Meaning, good character with Allah entails, yani has two sides. Yani accepting and complying with the things that He commanded us with. Yani His ahkam al-shara'iyya. And being patient with, being pleased with, and so on, the things that He decreed to occur in the earth. Al-ahkam al-qawniyya. So the Shaykh mentioned both sides, and this is very important. Yani, in terms of our character with Allah, good character with Allah, it means yani, both sides of this. What Allah legislated, as well as what Allah decreed to occur in the world. And the next question after this, yani, discuss briefly what is meant by having good character with Allah's creatures, yani, with the created beings. What do we mean by good character with the created beings? Now, Abdul Haq.
It is to be generous.
To be generous.
Refrain from harming others.
Refrain from harming others.
And have a cheerful face.
This is what he started with, huh? Three things, yani, being generous, and also refraining, yani, doing good to people and refraining from harming people. And then how you meet people, yani, with a cheerful face, yani, naam, easy, gentle, kind, naam, You want to add to it, or somebody want to add? Naam.
He said to be generous, it's not only exclusive to one's wealth. It could be through one's wealth, but it could also be through one's honor, his status. So maybe in a community or maybe in a job, some place where he has like a title and his word could mean something and help another brother. Or in his self, as in his actions, so physically doing something, helping people physically.
Yani generosity here, al-karam, he said it means not just with your wealth, being generous and giving your wealth, but he said also with your position, your status, your station, being able to help people through the position that you have amongst the people in the society or whatever. As well as by your personal actions. Yani not just giving wealth and be content with that, but sometimes you have to physically help other people. Being generous with that as well. Naam. And refraining from harm, naam.
Humble.
Being humble, naam. No doubt. Refraining from harming people, he said what? It includes, yani refraining from harming people.
Through actions and by speech.
بالفعل أو بالقول. Yani by actions or by speech. And he said, meeting people with a cheerful face, he said the opposite of it is, or it is the opposite of meeting people with a frowning face. Yani, I think the young people have a word for it, but I can't remember it at the moment. Slipped my memory. طيب. After this, memorize the question number 7. Memorize the 9th statement of the author, rahimahullah, yani Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, which relates to one who severs ties, deprives you or wrongs you. Yani Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah also, he said what? Yandubuna? Mustafa?
Whoever severs ties with you, you keep the ties.
Okay. Keeping ties with those who cut you off. Anybody else?
To give to those who deprive
you. Give to those who deprive you. And pardon those who wronged you. Anybody memorize this statement? Memorized it. Now, Musa. Ila an. Tasila. And sometimes, yani, these statements, we are asking for them to be memorized because we want to memorize this chapter. Little by little, week by week, one or two lines at a time. It's not that much. It's possible. It's not that much. Now,
You also say that keeping ties with the kin, even if they break their relationship with you.
Naam. Keeping ties with those who cut you off. Naam. With kin, with relatives, with naam, your family members. Naam. Question number 8. Discuss what is meant by keeping ties of relations and what is not considered as keeping ties. Yani, what is considered as keeping ties? The Shaykh mentioned, yani, and what is not considered as keeping ties. And he mentioned the hadith. Maybe if you don't remember the hadith, the meaning of it. Yani, the meaning of the hadith. The Prophet ﷺ said, what is not keeping ties is what? Is what?
Not merely reciprocating.
Yani, if somebody does good to you, do good back to them. They give you a gift, you give them a gift. They give you a call, you give them a call. They visit, you visit them. Reciprocating. He said, this is not what is meant by keeping ties. Silatul arham. This is not what is meant by it. What is meant by it is what?
Connecting ties with the people.
Huh?
Connecting ties with the people who that severed you.
Connecting ties with the people who cut you off. Yani, when the ties have been cut off, then you reconnect them. This is what is meant by silatul arham. That you connect with. You join yourself to. Yani, you associate with and do good to those who cut you off from your relatives. From your relatives. Naam. Yani, because those who don't cut you off, keeping ties with them is more so obligatory, because that's just reciprocating. But we're talking about those who cut you off, you don't cut them off. Question number 9, discuss the two reasons mentioned by the Shaykh rahimahullah, which would be an encouragement to pardon the one who wronged you. Two reasons, he said. Now, Muhammad.
Pardon, hoping for the forgiveness of Allah.
Hoping for the forgiveness of Allah and His rahmah.
And
His mercy. Now. Uh-huh.
Spreading the love amongst the people.
Spreading love. Yani, more specifically?
It's to establish love between you and the one who wronged you.
Naam, to re-establish the love, yani the affection, the good relations between you and the one who wronged you. Yani, this is one of the reasons why you were pardoned. Because this helps what? To re-establish the relations. And the Shaykh mentioned, but this meaning came in an ayah in the Quran, which mentions, ادفع بالتي هي أحسن فإذا الذي بينك وبينه عداوة كأنه ولي حميم. يعني repulse evil with that which is better than it, and in this way it will make the one between him and you there's enmity and hatred. It will make that person as a dear close friend and supporter. يعني meaning that you pardon and you do good to people in order to what? To fix the relations that went bad because somebody did wrong to you. You want to fix it. And the first one, yani, just to clarify a little bit, yani, the first reason he said, seeking forgiveness and mercy, and this is from the ayat, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, yani, pardon, huh, and rectify, and the reward will be with Allah. The reward with Allah is what? That Allah would, yani, pardon you, forgive you, have mercy upon you, because what? The reward is like the deed done. Al-jaza min jins al-amali. Yani, if you pardon others, it is with the hope that Allah will pardon you. And if you forgive others, it is with hope that Allah will forgive you. So this is also a reason. This is a tremendous reason why you should pardon. Because you are in need of pardon from Allah. So if you want Allah's pardon, then you should pardon the people. لا يرحم الله من لا يرحم الناس. Question number 10. Yeah, last question. Discuss the shart or condition set by Allah for pardoning and the ayah. In the 42nd surah, 40th ayah, from which this shart is derived. Yani, what is the shart that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yani set for pardoning? And what is the ayat that it came from? Naam, Waleed. Naam, faman afa wa aslaha fa ajruhu ala Allah. Naam. Yani, the condition is what? Yani, faman afa, whoever pardons, wa aslaha, and rectifies. Yani, fix the relation between that person who has wronged you, that you pardon. Don't just, yani, say, I pardon them and continue hating them and don't talk to them and don't reestablish good relations. But rectifying the situation, yani, rectifying your heart and rectifying your relation with that person. This is the condition that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, that if you pardon, that also you have to rectify. Naam. And the reason for this is because, as the Shaykh explained in detail, and we, you know, will not discuss it in detail again, but the reason for this is because, yani, the real benefit of pardoning is in rectification. And if in pardoning somebody, instead of rectification, it brings about evil or corruption or yani, wrong or hurt or harm or detriment to others, then we're not then in that point, yani, encouraged to pardon. Rather, it is better not to pardon. If pardoning will bring about evil, then it is better not to pardon. Sheikh said, in some cases, it may be obligatory not to pardon. And that is, if the person who you're pardoning, yani, is not deserving to be pardoned. Because they will continue doing, this will only be an encouragement to them to continue doing wrong to others. And if the yani maslaha shara'iyya dictates, requires that they be punished, then they should not be pardoned. And this is something that we have to look at. Yani, I don't think we have a problem with punishing those who deserve to be punished, but we may have a problem with pardoning those who deserve to be pardoned. That's really our problem. Wallahu musta'an. Tayyib, tonight, how many people here has a parent living? Yani a mother or father living? MashaAllah. Yani Umm or Abd, yani Hay. Now, how many, their mother is living? Allahu Akbar. Tayyib, pay attention tonight. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, he says, yani in reference to Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah, and by the way, somebody reminded me earlier, and yani this is like 11 weeks into the class, right? The page that we're reading from in English is page 502, inshallah, to 508. In the English translation of Aqidah Wasatiyah, with the explanation of Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Thaymin, we're reading from page 502 through 508, inshallah. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah says, in reference to Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah, وَيَأْمُرُونَ بِبِرُّ الْوَالِدَيْنِ بِبِرُّ الْوَالِدَيْنِ وَصِلَةِ الْأَرْحَامِ وَحُسْنِ الْجِوَارِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ إِلَى الْيَتَامِ وَالْمَسَاكِينِ وَابْنِ السَّبِيلِ وَالرِّفْقِ بِالْمَمْلُوكِ نعم. يعني that the Ahlus, these are some of the characteristics that we're going to talk about in the next few classes. And tonight we'll probably take the first two. We hope to take the first two. وَيَأْمُرُونَ بِبِرُّ الْوَالِدَيْنِ. The Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah command the people with birr to their parents. Yani kindness, obedience, charity, generosity to their parents. Yani we enjoin upon ourselves and others to be kind to parents. Wasilat al-arham, and to connect even those who cut us off, to connect the relations, yani, or to join with our relatives, our family members, to keep ties with them. Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, he says, the commanding to have birr, kindness, obedience, devotion, generosity to our parents, he said, وَذَلِكَ لِعِظَمْ حَقِّهِمَا. Yani this is due to the greatness of the two of them, the greatness of their right. Yani the magnificence, the importance of their right. Yani, why do we command and join ourselves and others to be kind to parents? It's due to the greatness of their right over us. Yani, their right over us is greater than the right of anyone else, except Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Allah, the Shaykh says, Allah didn't make for anyone a right following His right and the right of His Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, except the right of the parents. Yani Allah didn't connect the right of anyone to His right and the right of His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, except the right of parents. Showing what? The greatness of the right of parents. Yani Allah connected it to His own right and the right of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam immediately following it. Meaning that the rights of parents are greater than the rights of any other human beings, except the right of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, along with the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, Surah An-Nisa, 4th Surah, 36 ayat, وَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ وَلَا تُشْرِكُ بِهِ شَيْئًا وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. Command and prohibition. وَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ, yani we are ordered to worship Allah. Means it's obligatory to worship Allah. And we are prohibited from associating anything as a partner or equal or sharing with Allah that which is His exclusive rights, worship or other than that. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. And in reference to the parents, be good to them, be kind to them. Yani, with all types of goodness, every type of kindness or generosity or charity or devotion, dutifulness, every aspect of it, whether in speech or in action. As some of the scholars of tafsir said, This is because they are the reason for your existence. It is through your parents that you came into existence. And because they have love for the child, and they have done good to the child, and they have the nearest relationship to a child, which necessitates and requires the confirmation, the affirmation of their right and the obligation of being kind to them. The Shaykh says, and this is from Tafsir, it's not from the book, I was just making some comments from the Tafsir of this ayat, but the Shaykh, he says, and after mentioning this ayat, and worship Allah, and do not associate anything with him, and be kind to the parents, he said, وَحَقُّ الرَّسُولُ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ فِي الدَّمْنِي الْعَمْرُ بِعِبَادَةِ اللَّهِ. Yani, the right of the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم is included within the command to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani, when Allah ordered us to worship Him, yani the obligation to worship Allah, yani that's His right over us. So included within that command to worship Allah is the right of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And perhaps you might not hear this anywhere else. Yani normally in the tafsir, in many of the tafsirs of the Quran, yani what's mentioned is what is clearly yani indicated in this hadith. That is the command to worship Allah and not to associate anything with Him, coupled directly with the command to be kind to parents. The Shaykh is saying here that within the command to worship Allah, there is something else that points to, indirectly, yani the right of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the meaning of that is that the right of Allah is first, and within that is the right of the Messenger second, and the right of parents third. The right of parents is not over the rights of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Perhaps we all know that, maybe, but we might not be thinking of it. So we should remember that as much as the parents have rights over us more than any other human being, not over the right of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So obedience to parents cannot be in disobedience to Allah, nor in disobedience to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, otherwise, we have to obey parents. So the right of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam is included within the command to worship Allah. And that is because لا تتحقق العبادة, yani the worship of Allah cannot be realized, cannot be achieved, cannot be fulfilled until you fulfill the right of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam by loving him and by following his way. By loving him and following his way, you cannot fulfill the right of Allah of worship except by first, yani loving the Messenger and following him. The Shaykh says, and it is for this reason, وَلِهَذَا كَانَ, and this word is missing from our Arabic text, وَلِهَذَا كَانَ دَاخِلًا فِي قَوْلِهِ وَعَبُدُ اللَّهِ وَلَا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا. وَلِهَذَا كَانَ, and for this reason, the right of the Messenger ﷺ is included within the saying of Allah, worship Allah and don't associate anything with Him. وَكَيْفَ يَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ إِلَّا مِنْ طَرِيقَ الرَّسُولِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمْ. What is the meaning here? Yani the Shaykh is saying what? How is the right of the Messenger included here? Because how can you worship Allah except by the way of the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, except by the Sunnah of the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم. So if a person worships Allah in accordance with what is necessitated or dictated by the Sharia of the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, then this person has fulfilled the right of the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم. If a person worships Allah in accordance with what is required by the Sharia, by the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, in doing so you have fulfilled the right of the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, which is what? To love him, to honor him, to exalt him, to follow his way in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then after this comes the right of the parents. So the parents, ta'iba ala al-walad, yani they labored, toiled, exhausted themselves in taking care of the child, especially the mother. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, in Surah Al-Ahqaf, 46 surah, 15th ayat, yani the beginning of the ayat, long ayat, وَوَصَّيْنَا الْإِنسَانَ بِوَالِدَيْهِ إِحْسَانًا حَمَلَتْهُ أُمُّهُ كُرْحًا وَوَضَعَتْهُ كُرَهَا. To the end of the ayat, Shaykh mentions this part, which is the shahid he wants to bring to us. Yani that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَصَّيْنَا, we have commanded, we have enjoined on the human being to be kind, to be dutiful, to be obedient to his parents. Both of them. But then Allah puts in here what? Yani special notice for the mother. But the mother is the one who has born him, carried him with hardship and difficulty. And she has, yani, delivered him, given birth to him with hardship and difficulty. Yani, Allah is commanding us what? To, yani, be good to our parents. And then He's singling out the mother especially for some special, yani, task that she fulfilled. The hardship of carrying the pregnancy of that child. And the hardship of delivering that child. And then the hardship of what comes after that. Taking care of that child for some time. Yani as Allah mentions in the remainder of the ayat. Shaykh says in another ayat. Yani in Surah Al-Luqman. 31st Surah. 14th ayat. وَوَصَّيْنَا الْإِنسَانَ بِوَالِدَيْهِ حَمَلَتُ أُمُّهُ وَهْنًا عَلَى وَهْنٍ. And then to the end of the ayat. Yani the meaning here is similar. Yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded us. He enjoined upon us, the human being, to, yani, goodness to parents. And then he mentions, singles out the mother. It is the mother who has carried him with weakness, hardship, and difficulty. Upon weakness, hardship, and difficulty. And, yani, took care of him after she delivered him. And then Allah says, أَنِشْكُرْ لِي وَلِوَالِدَيْكَ إِلَيَّ الْمَصِيرَ. It's commanded us to be thankful to him and to be thankful to your two parents. And to me, Allah says, is your return. And this is also, yani, important that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not only commanded us to be good to our parents, but He also commanded us to be thankful, to be grateful to our parents, both of them. Even though He singles out the mother for special mention. And then He says, wa ilayhi al-masir, yani, know that you will be called to account for this. Have you been good to your parents? Have you been kind to your parents? Have you been dutiful, obedient? Have you respected them or not? Have you been thankful to them? Are you grateful to them? Do you appreciate what they have done for you? Yani, when you couldn't do anything for yourself. Now you forgot because you're independent. But what about when you were small, when you were a baby and you couldn't take care of yourself? Have you forgotten that? Or do you remember that? And if you remember it, then you are grateful. And if you are grateful, then you, yani, show gratitude. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam connected this remembrance. Yani, Allahumma anni ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatik. Yani, oh Allah, help me to remember you so that I may be thankful to you, so that I may worship you in the best manner. Yani, remembering the effort, the toil, the labor, the hardship that your parents went through may help you to be grateful to them, which may help you to, yani, treat them the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us. And if you have parents who are living, it's incumbent upon us. And by the way, I cannot let this opportunity escape to remind us that even though some of us, our parents may not be Muslim, some of us, people from America, many of us, our parents are not Muslims. Are we obligated to be dutiful to them? To be obedient to them? Yes. Naam. Naam. Didn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tell us in the ayah following, the ayah in Surah Al-Luqman? He said what? وَإِن جَاهَدَاكَ عَلَىٰ أَن تُشْرِكَ بِيَ شَيْءٍ مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٍ فَلَا تُطِيعْهُمَا وَصَاحِبُهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا. Yani, and even if your parents are mushriks and they strive to get you to make shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that which you have no knowledge of its permissibility, then Allah says, don't obey them in that. However, still, have good company with them. صَاحِبُهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا. Treat them well in spite of that. Even if they are what? Mushriks, commanding you to do shirk. Still, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, you have to be kind to them, dutiful to them, obedient to them, as long as it's not in disobedience to Allah and His Messenger. The Shaykh, he says, وَالْأُمْ تَتَعَبُ فِي الْحَمْلِ وَعِنْدَ الْوَدَعُ وَبَعْدَ الْوَدَعُ. وترحم سبيها أشد من رحمة الولد له. يعني the mother especially يعني labors, exhausts herself in the pregnancy and in the delivery of the child and after the delivery of the child for at least يعني some time, right? Maybe 2 years, and then after that, and the mother is more merciful to the child much more than the mercy of the father to the child. And for this reason, it is incumbent يعني to يعني give a greater right to the mother over the father. For this reason, يعني the Sheikh says, the right of the people, يعني أحق الناس, يعني those, the people who have the most right over you to have good companionship and kindness and good treatment, even over the father, he said, it is the mother. يعني this is why the mother has more right over you to have good companionship and kind treatment, even more than the father. A man came to the Messenger of Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and he asked him, من حق الناس بحسن الصحابتي, who have more right to my good companionship? And the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Ummuk, your mother. And then he said, who after that? Yani the man asked, so who has next most right? He said, your mother. And the famous hadith, right, we all know. He said, who after that? He said, your mother. And finally, in the fourth time, he said, finally, your father. Which means that the father also have rights. There's no doubt about it. It's just that the rights of the mother are greater. Naam. And some of us, we may have trouble with our mother, or with our father, or with both of them. In America, some of us, maybe we don't even know who was our mother and father. Maybe we didn't have parents. Naam, that's not uncommon. Or at least one of them is probably gone. Or maybe they're not Muslims. And there are other kinds of problems. But nonetheless, يعني, they still have rights. Everybody in accordance with what they have put forward. This hadith is reported by Al-Bukhari Muslim from Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. The Shaykh, he says, and the father also labors, exhausts himself, يعني, to take care of his children. And he is troubled. He is irritated. He is angered by that which troubles his children. And he is happy. He is pleased with that which pleases them. Yani the father also has something here. Naam. The mother is most merciful, but the father also has some mercy and compassion and love for his children. Naam, that's a fact. And he strives, exerts himself. Yasa'a. Using all means that he has access to bring about the comfort of his children and their tranquility, and that they have, and for them to have yani husnu aishatihim, yani that they have a good livelihood, a good living, a good life. Naam, he strives for this. And the Shaykh, he used the expression here yani that's a little bit strange for me, but in any case the meaning of it yani linguistically, yadribu al-fayafi wal-qafar من أجل تحصيل العيش له ولأولاده. يعني the meaning of it is يعني فيافي, it means like يعني a vast يعني صحراء واسعة, يعني a vast desert land. So he will go across the desert, and كفار means يعني an empty place, يعني where there's no food and there's no drink and there are no people. Huh? Wasteland. Yani the father, he would go across the earth through whatever difficulties and hardships in order seeking the livelihood for himself and for his children. This shows that the father also has a right, yani to albir, kindness and good treatment and charity and dutifulness and obedience. So every one of them, the mother and the father, the Shaykh mentioned the mother first. Huh? The Shaykh said, فَقُلُّ مِنَ الْأُمُّ وَالْأَبْ لَهُ حَقٌّ. He said, each one of them, the mother and the father. He didn't say the father and the mother. He said the mother and the father. And there's a reason for that, right? Because her right is greater. Each one of them have a right. No matter what you do, you cannot pay back or fulfill them, yani, that which, for what they have done for you. And for this reason, naam.
In English, actually, he said the father first.
In any case, in Arabic, the Shaykh said the mother first, okay? Allahu Akbar. So, yani the Shaykh said, for this reason, Allah Azza wa Jalla says, yani part of an ayat, وَقُلْ رَبِّ ارْحَمْهُمَا كَمَا رَبَّيَانِي صَغِيرًا. Surah Al-Isra, 17th surah, 24th ayat. Yani Allah is commanding, قُلْ رَبِّ ارْحَمْهُمَا. O Allah, O my Rabb, yani have mercy upon both of them. in exchange for just as, yani they raised me. Rabbayani, both of them raised me when I was saghira, when I was young, when I was little. Yani both of them, yani. And these ayats and hadith and different things are making us to know that both parents have rights, even if the mother has a greater right. The Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di says in the tafsir of this ayat, yani I'm just giving this as a yani fa'ida, in the tafsir of this ayat, the Shaykh says that Allah is saying, say, O my Rabb, have mercy on them as they raised me when I was young. He said, "Ay, ud'u lahuma bil-rahma ahya'an wa amwatan." Allah is commanding us to supplicate for them that He have mercy upon us. That means that's a command. If you have not been asking Allah to have mercy on your parents, you have fallen short. This is a command from Allah. And al-amr yaqtidi al-wujub. That means it's obligatory. If you haven't been doing it, you have been failing in your duty to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Supplicate for your parents. He said, yani if they are living and if they are dead. Yani in compensation for them having raised you when you were young. And the Shaykh also, Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di, says, we also understand from this that the more that they have done for you, yani in raising you, the more they have a right over you. And likewise, whoever has taken responsibility for raising you, whether in religious matters or in worldly matters, yani other than your parents, a good rearing, other than your parents, then this person also has a right over you. Meaning somebody else took care of you, whether it's your grandmother, your aunt, or somebody, a neighbor, or somebody, yani took care of your religious education, like yani Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di took Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen from his parents and told them, I'm keeping Muhammad with me. When they moved, and he kept him, and he raised him. Yani, after he was grown, yes, but he was still a young man. He raised him in his deen, and what he became. So he also has a right, even though he's not his parent. So somebody who has given you some rearing, good rearing, they also have a right over you, whether it's in religious matters or worldly matters. Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di gave us this benefit in the tafsir of this ayah in Surah Al-Isra 17:24. Allahu musta'an. So, yani al-birr, the Shaykh says, is fard ayn, yani obligatory on every individual according to ijma', consensus of the Muslims. There's no difference of opinion about it. Either every individual from amongst the human beings, being kind and dutiful and obedient to your parents is fard ayn bil ijma'. And for this reason, the Prophet ﷺ gave precedence to kindness to parents over jihad in the way of Allah, as came in the hadith of Abdul ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. He said, I said, O Messenger of Allah, ayyul amal ahabbu ila Allah, which of the deeds is most beloved to Allah? The Prophet ﷺ said, as-salat ala waqtiha, yani the prayer in its time. And in one narration, fi awli waqtiha, yani in the beginning of his time. Then I said, then what after that? And he said, birru walidain, kindness to parents. And then I said, and then what after that? And he said, then jihad fi sabilillah, hadith reported by al-Bukhari and Muslim. Yani the Prophet ﷺ gave precedence to the right of Allah, salat ala waqtiha, and then he gave precedence to birru walidain, and then jihad fi sabilillah. So the two parents, yani who are they? They are the father and the mother. As far as the grandfather and the grandmother, that's a little bit different. They also have a right to kindness and yani obedience. لَكِنَّهُ لَا يُسَاوِي بِرْ الْأُمِّي وَالْأَبِي. Yani, but the birr, the right of kindness to the grandparents, is not equal to the right of kindness to the mother and to the father. And that is because the grandfather and the grandmother didn't yani go through what the mother and father went through, the ta'ab and the ri'ayah and the mulahadha, yani the labor and hardship and toil and care and attention that was given by the mother and father. The grandmother and grandfather didn't go through all of that. Naam, there's exception. Perhaps the mother wasn't there and the grandmother raised you. Perhaps the father wasn't there and the grandfather raised you. Like our brother, may Allah have mercy upon him, Hamza Abdul Rahman, who passed away a few days ago. And his grandson, Khalil, I saw that boy in the masjid for the first time in 6 years. And maybe he's 12 years old. Last time I saw him, he's a little boy. But every time I used to see him, he was with his grandfather. His grandfather raised him. Then that's an exception to the rule, right? We're saying that the grandfather and grandmother they don't have the same right to kindness and obedience that the parents do. But there may be exception. Maybe a grandmother or grandfather may have a greater right because the mother or father was absent for whatever reason. So the general rule is that the grandmother and grandfather, they have a right, but not like the right of the parents. So, yani, the kindness is obligatory to the grandparents. Min bab as-sila, yani, from the perspective or as a kind of keeping ties of relations. However, even though, yani, they don't have a right equal to the parents, but, yani, they have a greater right than any of the other relatives to keeping ties with them. Yani, the grandparents, their right is not equal in birr to the parents, but they have a greater right than any other relatives to keeping ties. Yani, silatul arham. As far as birr, then this is especially for the mother and the father. Lakin ma ma'na al-birr. So what is the meaning of al-birr? The Shaykh says, isal al-khayr biqadr ma tastati'u wa kafu al-shar. Yani al-birr, it is isal al-khayr. Yani that you cause good to reach your parents. Yani you be the means of good coming to them to the best of your ability. And you hold back any harm, shar, evil, from coming to them. And as far as isal al-khayr, yani causing good to reach them, it is by your wealth. It is by your service, your khidmah, serving them. Yani, it's not enough that you just spend on them. Give them a lot of money and you never visit them. You don't help them. You don't go to see them. You don't do anything. You just send them money. No. But isal al-khayr means that you spend on them with your wealth, that you serve them, khidmah. And also that you, yani, cause them to be happy. Idkhal al-surur alayhima. You cause them to be happy. By what? By having a cheerful face and by having the best speech and manners with them when you deal with them. And everything else that entails granting them comfort and ease and relaxation. This is the birr that's for the parents. And this is how we're supposed to be treating our parents. Spending our wealth, going to them, serving them. Naam. Trying to make them happy in any way that we can, bringing joy to them. Yani, trying to do something, not just for yourself, but for your parents to make them happy. I always say to the young people, if I sit down and have a serious talk with them, individually or collectively, in your plans in life, put something in there for your parents. Yani, something that you're going to do that's going to make your parents happy. And of course, it's for the sake of Allah. Of course, it's for your benefit. But you doing it because you know this is what will make them happy. And nothing will make them happy more than you worshipping Allah, following the sunnah. Naam. That's more than getting a college degree. That's more than making a lot of money. That's more than becoming famous. What will make them more happy is that you're worshipping Allah according to the sunnah. For this reason, the strongest opinion is that serving the parents, the father and the mother, the obligation of serving the parents, yani, this, the strongest opinion is that it's obligatory for the children to serve their parents as long as it doesn't bring any harm. Yani, serving them doesn't cause harm to you. Because if it caused harm, then it's not obligatory for you to serve them in that way. If it means that it will cause some harm to you. Yani, the Shaykh said, Allahumma illa inda durura. Except in case of, yani, necessity. Yani, in case of necessity, if they need service, even if it caused harm to you, you have to serve them. Naam. And for this reason, we say that obedience to them is wajiba, obligatory, in that which benefits them and does not harm the child. Yani, it's obligatory, as long as it's something that benefits them and does not harm the child. As far as that which contains harm to the child, and by child I don't mean a baby, I mean yani, the child, whether you're 40 or 50 years old, right? It doesn't matter if that harm is a religious harm, like them commanding their child to abandon an obligatory duty to Allah, or to commit a prohibited act. That's a harm. Yani, that's different. In this case, there's no obedience to them. Or even if the harm is in a worldly affair, then it's not obligatory for you to obey them, yani, even in that which brings harm to you. As far as wealth, the Shaykh says, as far as wealth, that's service and obedience. But as far as wealth, it is obligatory upon you to be, yani, kind to them and to help them in every way possible through your wealth, even if it requires a lot of spending. It's obligatory for you to expend to expend your wealth on them, even if it's a lot, as long as it doesn't cause any harm to you. And as long as it's not from that which are the needed things that you yourself need. Yani, whatever is beyond your need and doesn't cause you harm, then it's obligatory upon you to spend on them, even if it's a lot. And as far as the father, the Shaykh says, especially the father, he has the right to take from the wealth of his child whatever he wills, malam yadur, as long as it doesn't harm the child. Yani, the father especially has the right to take from his child his wealth, whatever he wills, because you and your wealth belong to your father, as the Prophet ﷺ said in an authentic hadith. So if we, yani, the Shaykh says here, yani, so if we reflect, ponder over the condition of the people today, we will find that many of the people today, they are not kind or obedient to their parents. Rather, many of them are disobedient, disrespectful, undutiful to their parents, especially today. Especially in the Western countries, in the Kafir countries, especially. But even amongst the Muslims, Wallahu Musta'an, even amongst the Muslims, it's intolerable, unacceptable that we are disobedient to our parents. No matter, even if, but my father, he's not nice, my mother, she's not good to me, doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. That doesn't give you the right to be disrespectful, to be disobedient, to be anything other than, yani, kind to them, according to the best of your ability. Yani, this is a fact. So we find some people today, they are very good, yani, well-mannered, and in with their companions, their friends. They never become bored with sitting with them, no matter how long they sit with them. Some brothers can go to the masjid and sit for 16 hours, but he doesn't have 16 minutes for his family. And maybe some sisters also like that. Allahu a'lam. I know that the complaint always came against the brothers. He said, some of the people are very good with their companions, and they never get bored from sitting with them. However, if they sit with their father or their mother for just a sa' min nahar, just a small portion of the day, you find this person, frustrated? No, I want to say restless, fidgety. They can't sit still. I have to get out of here. I've been sitting here too long. It's been 15 minutes. Can I go? Didn't I suffice? This is how he said, the Shaykh said, it is as though the person is sitting on hot coals, burning their backside. This is not the one who is kind to parents. Rather, the one who is kind to parents is the one who has an open heart for his mother and his father. And he serves them to the greatest extent possible, to the best of their ability, in every way that he can think of, or she can think of. Because even though we're saying he, we mean sisters also. Naam. And he is eager to and diligent to the best of his ability to please the parents with everything that one is able to. With everything that one is able to. The Shaykh says, كَمَا قَالَتْ الْعَامَ the ordinary people, they say, Albir aslaf. Yani, a salaf is like in trade, yani, it's like a person has a farm and they grow some crops and the crops didn't come yet. But the one who wants to buy the crops before they are due, he gives a cash advance. Yani, he pays for the crop before it's due. That's salaf. Yani, you pay the person before you get, yani, what you're paying for. Huh?
Salaf udin.
Naam. So it's a loan, because you didn't get the product. It's a loan. You didn't get the product. But you paid for it in advance. And then you get your return later. The Shaykh said, this is what some of the people say, the ordinary people, they say, Al-Birr Aslaf. Yani, it's like an advance payment, a loan. So if, even though, the Shaykh says, the birr, yani, the kindness and obedience to parents, even though the person who does this will achieve a great reward in the hereafter, and that's the most important thing, right? But he said, he will also be rewarded in this world. Or she will also be rewarded in this world. And that is because being kind and obedient to parents, or being disobedient and disrespectful to parents, is, as the awam say, aslaf. Yani, he goes back to the saying, it's aslaf, yani, meaning aqrad tastawfi. Yani, it is a loan that has to be paid back in full. Meaning, if you have been kind to your parents, then your children who came later, they will be kind to you. If you have been disobedient and disrespectful to parents, then your children will be disobedient and disrespectful to you. Yani, whatever you send ahead is what's going to come back to you. If the loan that you send ahead, the cash advance, is disobedience, that's what's coming back to you. So, yani, make a good loan. Yani, make a good loan. Yani, be kind to your parents, because that's what's going to come back to you. In addition to what's greater than that, that is the reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the Shaykh says, there are many stories that came from the people concerning the person who was kind to parents, and then his parents were kind to him. And likewise, those who were disobedient, there are stories which point out to the fact that a human being who his children were disobedient to him, it is just as he was disobedient to his parents. So the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah command us with kindness, obedience, dutifulness, respect and reverence to parents. Birru walidain. Wa kadhalika, yani, the Shaykh says, wa kadhalika ya'muruna bi silatil arham. Yani, Shaykh Islam Taymiyyah said, birru walidain wa silatil arham wa husnul jiwar. To the end of what he said in this statement, yani, the Shaykh says, and likewise, in the same way, the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah also command the people to join, to connect the ties with their relatives. Join, connect the ties with relatives. And as we mentioned previously last week, it means not just being good to those who are good to you, but it means those who cut off. Yani, those who are not good to you, being good to them. Connecting ties with those who cut them off. So here, the Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah is saying, فَفَرَّكَ بَيْنَ الْوَالِدَيْنِ وَالْأَقَارِبِ الْآخَرِينَ. Yani, that here Shaykh Al-Islam Taymiyyah is distinguishing between the parents and other relatives. Yani, in the first statement he said, بِرُّ الْوَالِدَيْنِ, that's for the parents. Now he said, differently, there's also a right for your relatives, but it's something different. It's silatul arham. And he's distinguishing between them. They are not the same. So the relatives, they have a right, yani, of keeping ties with them. And the parents, they have the right of you, of birr, kindness and obedience and respect and reverence and, yani, honoring them. So the birr that's due to the parents is higher than the sila, keeping ties with your relatives. The birr is higher because the birr is kathratul khair wal ihsan. It means plenty, a lot of, yani, goodness and kindness and generosity. While keeping the ties, it means wasila, walakin asila and la yaqta. And la yaqta, it just means that the person doesn't cut them off. Yani, that's what the obligation, don't cut your relatives off. Yani, keep ties with them. But as far as the parents, it's more than that. It's more than that, al-birr. And for this reason, it's said about the one who has abandoned the birr to the parents, that he is aq, yani, one who is disobedient, disrespectful. And it is said about the one who doesn't keep ties, that he is qati', yani, the one who has cut off the ties with the relatives. So keeping ties with the relatives is wajiba. And cutting those ties is a cause of the la'na, the curse of Allah being upon the person, and them being deprived or prevented from entering the Jannah. And here the Shaykh mentions the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Muhammad, 47th Surah, 22nd and 23rd ayat, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَهَلْ عَصَيْتُمْ إِن تَوَلَّيْتُمْ يعني, would you then, if you are given authority in the land, that's one of the meanings that the scholars of tafsir said, تولّيت يعني mean, that you were given authority in the land. The other meaning is, that you turned away. يعني turned away from iman and obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani, if it, what, how would it be if you, yani, were given authority, or if you had turned away from iman and obedience to Allah, would you then, yani, tufsidu fil ard wa tuqatti'u arhamakum, would you make corruption in the earth and cut off the ties with your relatives? Would you do so? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the next ayat, ulaika alladhina la'anahum Allah, then Allah has cursed them. وَأَصَمَّهُمْ وَأَعْمَى أَبْصَارَهُمْ And He has caused them to be deaf, and He has caused blindness in their sight. And He caused them to be blind so that they couldn't see. And here, just quickly, I want to mention, yani, from the tafsir of this ayat, that which is very important. And it is that, yani, just part of what I want to mention, لَعْنَهُمُ اللَّهِ Yani, the curse of Allah being upon them, it means that Allah would remove them from His mercy. أَبَعَدُهُمْ عَنْ رَحْمَتِهِ وَقَرَّبُوا مِنْ سَخْتِ اللَّهِ And then Allah will bring them near to His anger and His displeasure. As far as فَأَصَمَّهُمْ وَأَعْمَى أَبْصَارَهُمْ That He caused them to be deaf and blind, it means that He will make them لَا يَسْمَعُونَ مَا يَنْفَعُهُمْ وَلَا يُبْصِرُونَهُ That they will not hear that which benefits them, and they will not see that which benefits them. Meaning they will have ears, but their hearing would not be the hearing of submission and acceptance of Allah's commands. Rather, it will be the hearing of yani establishing the proof against them. Yani they wouldn't be able to say, I didn't know. But it wouldn't be the hearing of the person who hears Allah's command and complies with it. It will be the hearing that makes you responsible. You heard it and you know. And you didn't do it, and therefore you'll be responsible. And they will have eyes, but they wouldn't see the examples or the lessons and the ayat that are in everything around them. And they wouldn't take notice of the proofs and the clarifications of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with their eyes. They will see people and buildings and streets, but they won't see that which will benefit them. So Allah making them blind means not blind that they can't see anything, but it means they won't see that which will benefit them. And making them not hearing means that they won't hear that which will benefit them. The Prophet ﷺ said, لَا يَدْخُلُوا الْجَنَّةَ قَاطِعٌ That the one who cuts off will not enter the Jannah. A قَاطِعُ رَحْم Yani Sufyan, when he narrated this hadith, he said, قَاطِعٌ means, yani the Prophet said, the one who cuts off will not enter Jannah. As Sufyan rahimahullah, he said, the meaning is, the one who cuts off Yani the ties of relations, hadith reported by al-Bukhari and Muslim. The Shaykh says, Wasila, and this is the end of what he said, Wasila ja'at fil Quran wa sunnah mutlaqa. And keeping the ties, yani this command to keep ties with your relatives, it came in the Quran and it came in the sunnah mutlaqa. Yani undefined, unspecified, unrestricted. Yani just as a general command to keep ties without the specification of what it really entails, without definition or limitation or specification. And the Shaykh al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah, in a line of poetry from the poetry that he wrote concerning usul al-fiqh, he said in his poetry concerning usul al-fiqh, وَكُلُّ مَا أَتَى وَلَمْ يُحَدِّدِي بِالشَّرَعِي كَالْحِرْزِي فَبِالْعُرْفِ فِالْعُرْفِ حُدُودِ Yani, everything that came to us or is related to us with yani in the Sharia without being defined, yani without being specified, its limits or its definition in the Sharia, like the hirs, then yani by the customs it became defined. How do we define it? By custom. What is the hirs? Yani, it means the thing, the place where something is kept to protect it. And if a person puts something of value, wealth, money, whatever, in a place to protect it, whether it's in a box or in a safe or in whatever, in their house, then if it's not in a protected place, whatever is the protected place for that kind of valuable thing in that place, in that time, in that era, if it's not in a protected place and somebody steals it, it's a crime, right? But you can't cut their hand off. So this, the Shaykh is using this as an example. The hirs means that is something that it came in the Sharia that is not defined what it is, because it may differ in different times, in different eras, or in different places. What is the place that is sufficient to protect something of value in any particular era? It wasn't defined in the Sharia, so it is defined by what? What the people consider it to be. Yani defined by the customs of the people. So the Shaykh said, based on this, since it didn't come defined, specified, yani the sila, the keeping ties, exactly how do you do it, what is required, what is the minimum of keeping ties, since it didn't come specified, detailed, yani in the Sharia, فَعَلَى هَذَا يَرْجِ إِلَىٰ أُرْفِهَا. So for this reason, we go back to the urf, the custom of the people, to define what is required of you to fulfill the obligation of keeping ties. So whatever the people have said, this is keeping ties, then it is keeping ties. And whatever the people said, this is cutting ties, then that's what we consider to be cutting ties. And this may differ with the different conditions or circumstances, the different eras or time periods, different places and different nations. And then the Shaykh closes with two examples. He said, if the people are in a condition of poverty and you are rich, wealthy, affluent, and your relatives are poor, then keeping ties with them means giving them, yani from your wealth according to your ability. And if the people are rich, everyone is in yani a good condition, people don't need money, then perhaps going to them in the morning or in the evening, just visiting them, would be counted or considered as keeping ties. Yani the Shaykh is saying different conditions require something different. So what is it that is required of the people today? That's what we need to know. What is it that is the minimum that is required of us to keep ties and we have to comply with it? The Shaykh says in our time, and yani he's talking about yani in this time, meaning but yani not in every society. Yani in the Muslim society, especially in the Gulf and Saudi Arabia and places like this, where the people are wealthy and most of the people have plenty, not like yani the poverty in maybe in Africa and Asia and other places, or the poverty even yani here for many people now, because the wealth is not fairly distributed. He said, so in our time, this keeping ties between the people yani occurs rarely, qalila, it's a little. Most of the people are not keeping ties. And that is because many of the people are occupied with taking care of their needs. I gotta work, I gotta get some money, I gotta get some food, gotta take care of this. I ain't got no time to keep ties. Most of the people are occupied from one another, from keeping ties, keeping relations, because yani of whatever they are doing, whatever they're engaged in. So the perfect and complete yani keeping of ties, sila at-tama, it is at least that the person ask or inquire about the condition of their relatives. How are their children? What are their problems? At least. But unfortunately, even this is mafquda. It is missing today. And it is, and likewise, the birr, yani at-tam, yani being dutiful and obedient and respectful and kind and charitable to parents is also mafqood in the kathir min al-nas. Yani it is absent, it is lost amongst many of the people today. And this is the end of what we can take today. Let me stop here and remind myself and each of us yani that what Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah mentioned here in brief, and what Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Taymiyyah rahimahullah mentioned here in brief concerning yani birru walidain and silatul arham, it is incumbent upon us to take heed and to examine ourselves and to rectify and correct and improve and do better. Because so many people yani are not thinking that yani maybe Allah will take me in this condition that I'm in, but I'm going to do better later in another time, and maybe yani that will not come. So let us examine ourselves, especially in our relations with our parents and with our relatives. Yani, are we fulfilling the duty that is upon us? May Allah grant us success in doing so.
Amen.
And save us from our shortcomings, and pardon and forgive. Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika. Shadun la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.